Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again, for you. Thanks for bringing us all to you. And Lord, we just thank you that you desire a close relationship with us. And Lord, let us get into your word now so it can get into us. Help us, Lord. Help us to grow. Help us to stay in fellowship. And help us, Lord, to be a witness in the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to continue our study now in Matthew 2, starting in verse 13, and we're going to run through the end of the chapter. The escape to Egypt. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother, the angel said. Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother. And they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet. I called my son out of Egypt. Herod was furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, based on the wise men's report of the star's first appearance. Herod's brutal action fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A cry was heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning. Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for they are dead. Return to Nazareth. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Get up, the angel said. Take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who were trying to kill the child were dead. So Joseph got up and returned to the land of Israel with Jesus and his mother. But when he learned that the new ruler of Judea was Herod's son, Archelaus, he was afraid to go there. Then, after being warned in a dream, he left for the region of Galilee. So the family went and lived in a town called Nazareth. This fulfilled what the prophets had said. He will be called a Nazarene. Amen.
Am I on? Okay. Is the hum still there?
Nope.
Jeffrey? It's still this speaker. It turned it off. Yeah, something. Anyway, it's okay. I can talk over the hum. Believe that. And I don't really need this thing here either. So, but for everybody that's watching, the Bible, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the Bible. I have it, I read it, I study it, I teach it, and with God's help, I live it. So, as I looked at these verses, God told me it's about obedience. And Joseph was obedient to what the Lord was telling him to do. How many today are obedient? When were you disobedient when you were a child? Were you ever disobedient? Were you disobedient? Hey. Usually it starts when you become about 14 or 15. And you think you know everything. You were earlier than that? Well, I was a late bloomer, I guess. I don't know. When I got into junior high, we didn't have middle school. We had junior high. We had seventh, eighth, and ninth grade together, and then you went to high school as a sophomore. But that's just the way I was in school. Now it's middle school, it's sixth. And I don't think sixth graders, I think they, when I was in sixth grade, you were usually a crossing guard or something, and you had responsibilities, but it taught you responsibility to go into junior high, where you had all your classes, you had to go to different areas. But anyway, whatever.
Well,
yeah, you weren't obedient, but you were obese. Hey, if you look at my height and my weight, I'm probably there too, but that's okay. It's the way God made me. But I look at Joseph, and he's obedient when God tells him to do something. So the first thing is, what do we have to be obedient to do? We have to be obedient to listen and pay attention and wait on his calling for us to go. True? Let's look at some scripture. Look at Psalm 27:14. And, you know, they've been in Egypt for about 6 years. You think in that period of time, you're thinking, hey, can I go back to my homeland? When we moved out here in 1982 from Illinois, and then we moved to Elsinore in 83, and Janice, there was a time where we were in a new house, and a snake came in underneath the, somewhere, got underneath our slider, because they didn't have it adjusted right, and it was a gopher snake. I didn't know a gopher snake from a rattlesnake. The gopher snake got in, and Lindsay was real little, sitting on the floor, and the snake was over by her. Janice was having a fit. She had, my brother was there, and he got the snake out, whatever, and she said, I'm ready to go back. She was ready to leave. Now, you ask her today if she's ready to go back, she'd tell you no. But at that time, point in time, and that's just the way we are sometimes, we're not listening, okay, and we're not waiting on him. Verse 14, wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. How many of us are patient about waiting for him? What do we want? In this day and age, everything we want right now, whether it's information, whatever it is, we live in a technology age that everything's at your fingertips, you think. But be careful what you believe. Be careful what you believe. Because there's a lot of fake news. There's a lot of fake stuff. Janice's mom got a hold of me the other day, and she said, she got something on her thing, and she said, hey, check Social Security. They're going to give you $1,600 a month just for a free gift. I got on and I checked it out. I checked out Social Security. Any free gifts? No, they're giving no money out. But she wants her own checking account, even though her brother takes care of all her finances and she's fine. But she thought she was going to get her own checking account and get Social Security going to give her $1,600. I said, it's a bunch of hooey. And I told her, but people believe all kinds of things, because they're not waiting on the Lord. And he's going to tell you which way to go, and as long as you're obedient to what he wants you to do. So the next thing I see Joseph is obedient. When he told him to get up and go, he got up and went. And Jesus tells us all, we're supposed to get up and go. Where are we supposed to go? Out into the mission field. Each and every one of us. Maybe it's with family that are lost. The mission field is with anybody that hasn't accepted Jesus Christ. That's who is in the mission field. And it's our responsibility. He says, why don't they know? Because nobody's told them the good news. Joseph was told to get up and go. He didn't go back to Bethlehem. Why? Well, the Lord said, told him, no, you're going to Nazareth, which was that, north of Jerusalem. Judea, where he was at in Bethlehem, is on the south part of Israel. So he's going to a completely different part. And as I look, I think, man, Okay? He's been in Egypt for 6 years. Now he's going to leave where the kid was brought up, and he's going to take him to a different part of the country, to the extreme north. So it's about obedience. Let's look at some other scripture. And we all have, look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. And it's about being committed. A lot of people want to be involved, but the Lord requires you to be committed. And if you look at mine's entitled, A Call for Wholehearted Commitment. That's a wholehearted obedience to what He wants you to do. These are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach to you. You must obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy. Okay, we're put in here in the Elsinore Valley or Menifee or Temecula or wherever, Murrieta. Wherever we're put is where we're at. And you and your children and grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. That's a reverent fear. It's not like, oh, I'm scared of him. No, but a reverent fear means you respect him and honor him in everything you do. If you obey his decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life. Oh, okay. They're probably not going to be as long as the ones in the Old Testament, and I don't think I want to live that long. Listen closely, Aletheia. It says Israel, but Aletheia, listen closely. God's talking to us. Or Christians, how about that? And be careful to obey. Then all will go well with you and you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Listen, Christians, or oh Israel, Christians, the same thing. The Lord is our God. The Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. Everything we have, we're to give to Him. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. All the time we're to be teaching the young ones, whether it's kids or grandkids. We have a responsibility to be sharing the Lord with them from an early age. How about teaching them to pray before their meals? Is that a start? How many of us in here have grandkids? Are you teaching them well? Hey, I don't want to try to. I want to say, I'm doing. There you go. That's better. Look, if we're just trying, we're giving a half-hearted effort. Is that true? Well, it's all right. Hey, do you talk to them?
Yes.
Okay. We have a responsibility to be teaching them. Whether you, you know, and I've got ones from 21 down to 4. Oh, yeah. He just turned 4 Friday, right? We called him on his birthday. But we had his birthday party in July. He said, I already been 4. I said, how old are you? He said, I said, are you 4? He said, no, I already been 4. He was 4 when he had his birthday up here. So he didn't have to have it on a certain day. But anyway, if we have the opportunity and if they're close to us, we should be bringing them to church, or they should be going to church somewhere. And we have an obligation to teach them about who he is and what he's done for each and every one of us. YOLO's learning. YOLO's learning. When they become a certain age, they shouldn't be in children's church. They need to be in here. Here in the solid meat and potatoes of some stuff. And I'm not going to try to talk over, you know, anybody of any age. That's not the responsibility. It's to break it down. And it's about being obedient and committed to what the Lord wants you to do. And each one of us are part of a body. And this body is supposed to all work together. If you're here, everybody should be in a ministry. Everybody. Is that true? Yeah. I can't sing, so I'm not going to be on the praise team because there'd be people running out the door. So God didn't give me that gift. But He's using me to try to get points across that God has given me. I've been in this scripture I don't know how many times this week. But anyway, it's about obedience. And that's what Joseph was. He was listening to the Lord. How many times has the Lord talked to us and, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to get up. I don't want to go there. No. He got up immediately and went. And then he went to a different part of the thing, into Nazareth, which was a town that had trade routes from the east and the west and the north and the south. So you think Jesus, when he was probably about 8 years old when they went up there. And you think he didn't sit there and look out and see these trade routes run and kind of wonder, man, how lost are some of these people? Psalm 1:1-3. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. But you have to be taking that living water. You have to be fed with the living water. You have to be into His Word. You have to be into prayer. You have to surround yourself with the right people and the right places. Because when I was 15, I surrounded myself with all the wrong people. Wrong people. I did. I was disobedient. Nobody in here been that way but me. That's okay. I'll take the blame. Matthew 7, 24-28. Here's what we should be building on. We have to be building on a solid foundation. And what's that foundation? It's in Jesus Christ and only Jesus Christ. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents, and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. For he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. My sister lives in central Indiana, and they've had what they call a 100-year flood. And there's a lot of people in lowlands back there that their houses are now underwater. Why? Because they built them in the wrong places, on the wrong things, and they get washed away. A lot of people build on the cliffs out here along the coast. And when we get those big floods and stuff, houses are washing away. Why? Because they're not built on the rock. And that's what we got to build our faith on, is Jesus Christ. He is the rock. John 15:9-17. This is the way we're to be if we're obedient. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, when you're obedient to what he's called us to do, and he said, his yoke's easy. It's not hard. But so many people won't get up and do what he's called us to do. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commandments. He was obedient to what the Father had called him to do, even to the point of the cross for us. And remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Man, I want joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. That's a commandment. We're to be obedient to that. Even though somebody hates us, we got to love them. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. No, now you are my friends. Since I have told you everything the Father told me, you didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Love each other. Are a lot of people unlovable? But we're to love them. Love on them. Albert used to be kind of unlovable, but I still loved on him. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Hey, we're all work in progress. Huh? Well, Jesus was never quarrelsome. He was never demanding, but he was always loving. Even Judas. He loved Judas and tried to get Judas to turn, but Judas's heart was never right. So, but we're to love, to show the love of Christ that's in us to those that are lost, that are, think they're unlovable. But I'm telling you, we're to show that love. We're commanded to. And it's an obedience we've got to have. Romans 2, 6 through 11. He will judge everyone according to what they have done. He will give eternal life to those who keep on doing good, seeking after the glory and honor and immorality that God offers. But he will pour out his anger and wrath on those who live for themselves, who refuse to obey the truth and instead live lives of wickedness. There will be trouble and calamity for everyone who keeps on doing what is evil, for the Jew first and also for the Gentile. But there will be glory and honor and peace from God for all who do good, for the Jew first and also for the Gentile. For God shows no favoritism. Now, I looked at this, I looked at Archelaus, the son of Herod. And as you look at it, he was an evil man too. When he first took control, he killed 3,000 influential people in Jerusalem. Man, he's just like his daddy. And we have to be careful because the sins of the father are carried down through the third and the fourth generations. They can be. And what are those? If it's evil, it's going to be evil. Exodus 25 and 6. That's where it says it. I'll just start in verse 4. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay down the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected. Even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me, but lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. For those who are obedient. Now, Archelaus, he's following just in the footsteps of his father. But he's going to have to be judged for that, just as Herod was. And we have to be careful we don't fall into that same thing. I had a devotional that was given to me, and it was talking about, the guy was there, and the lights went out, and he was in the darkness. And as he was going to do simple things, he couldn't see. And how many of us, when the lights go out and it's dark at night, and you're sitting up, and you got a candle? You light one candle. How much does it show? It shows a smaller area, but it shows you enough light to kind of take the next step. And that's the way God is. He's going to shine. He's not going to show you a spotlight of the whole road. We're going to go through all kinds of things, but He expects us to be obedient as we go through those things. Whatever trial in life. Antonio and Blanca have been going, Blanca went through a trial, and she had to be patient. She was a bad patient for a while. I talked to Marta. I know. She wanted to get up and get around, but she had to rest for a while. And that's hard for Blanca. I know her. She doesn't want to rest. Sometimes God gives us that time that He's saying, okay, are you going to be obedient? Are you going to do what you're supposed to do? Janice, sometimes I wasn't a good patient either when I was quarantined for so long. That's hard. It's hard when you can't be around nobody. And the only one I had to pick on was my wife. We've been married 49 years. I think she knows who. But she'd go to the doctor and she'd snitch on me. She'd tell. And she'd snitch. And I'd tell the doctor, she's a snitch. But that was her responsibility. She signed a paper saying that this was what she was going to do. And I respected it. I didn't like it very much, but I respected it. But anyway, it was for my good. And now I'm doing well. I'm getting better every day. I go in October. I don't see nobody until October 19th. So God's good, because for a while I was three times a week going to La Jolla. Hey, that's a little drive, especially on a Friday. I didn't like Fridays. I had to go Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 3 days a week. And it was rough. And I was a little tired, and I couldn't talk very long and couldn't do very much. Now I'm getting stronger and getting better. And I thank Him for my wife keeping me obedient to what I needed to do. You know, you want to get out and you want to go do something. I mean, I could have walked around the block, but I'd have had to take a chair and sit down about halfway down the block because I didn't have enough red blood cells to give me enough oxygen to carry on too long. But it's all coming up, and I thank God for that. And my get up and go was gone for a while. Yeah. Once they gave me all that chemo and stuff, and then it was gone. So, but that was part of it that I had to go through. And, you know, as we go through certain things, we think, Lord, can't you take it away? Can't you make this better? And He's saying, hey, are you going to be obedient to what I've told you to do? Are you going to be obedient? Huh? Yeah. Paul had a condition with his eyes, and some of my eyes for a while were And they still get that away. I get a dry spot, and it's all part of it, and I have to put a certain stuff on it and to contain it. And anyway, it's just a condition that goes with what I had and what I'm going through. So, but Paul had a condition, and he went to the Lord, and he prayed three times. And he finally said, okay, that's enough. Lord, your grace is sufficient. And that's what we should say, no matter what we're going through. But, well, there's going to be times where the lights in our spiritual growth can go out. And we have to be careful and guard of that. How do they go out? Not spending time in the Word. Not spending time in prayer. Too consumed with other things that the world's trying to call you to do. Be careful. Be careful. We need to be listening to that still little voice that sometimes talks to us in our quiet place. And it says to go into your quiet place and pray. And you need to do that daily to spend time meditating. And I just think of Jesus up in Nazareth, and he's watching these roads and all these travelers coming, and how much compassion he felt for so many of them that were lost. So, I mean, at 8 years old, I knew. I mean, I watched a lot of things. When you're younger, you're a people watcher. Well, I mean, I watch people now. Like I said, I told you when I was sitting over, I seen the wheels turning. You know, you read people at certain times, and God gives you that ability. And if you're paying attention, if you're obedient, He's called us all to do certain things. And it's not to sit on our duff and just take up space. If you're here, He wants to use you to do something. So Skeeter gets up on Saturday morning, goes down to church in Elsinore, and we feed the homeless. And it's a blessing to be able to sit down and talk to these people. And you can kind of want to show them love, and to show them the love of Christ, and to get up and share, and sit down and talk to them. Sit down and talk to them. It's hard to know what they're going through if you don't talk to them. And Jesus talked to all kinds of people. All kinds. From the prostitute and from this to that. It didn't matter. He was sharing what the Father had told him to do. And God has pointed each and every one of us to do the same thing. Maybe it's to your grandchildren. Maybe it's to your children, even though they're older. You right? So, even though they're older. So, because sometimes if we're doing evil things, what are the kids going to do? They're going to follow suit. They're going to follow suit. So, if you cuss at home, they're going to cuss when they get around kids. They're going to do things that you won't want them to do. So, the biggest thing is spending time with them. Spending quality time with them. Teaching them the things that He's taught us. And that's a responsibility we all have. So, as you go through this week, are you being obedient? That's what we all have to ask ourselves. Are we being obedient to what He's called us to do? To love, to show His love to everybody that we can. So, maybe it's in different ways. I don't know. Maybe it's your neighbor that needs a little loving. So, maybe it's whoever. I don't know. But God's going to tell you if you're listening. He's going to tell you, just like He told Joseph. Okay, it's time to get up out of Egypt. Go back to your land. Okay, He's going back. He figured He's going to Bethlehem, maybe. He said, nope. I want you to go way up there to Nazareth. And what would your response be?
Nothing good comes out of Nazareth.
That's what they said. But hey, Jesus came from there, so that's something good that came out of there for me. So That's what they said, but there was something good that came out of there. And I'm telling you, he died for each and every one of us to make us white as snow and wash away all those sins. He no longer, they're as far as the east is from the west, it says. And I'm so glad of that. I don't have to look in the rear view. I don't want to go in that rear view mirror and think about all those things I did. I remind myself so I don't repeat the same mistake. Well, hey, it's good to remember mistakes we've made so that we don't make them again. So that's the whole point of it's just like a rear view mirror. You check in it to make sure there's nothing going on behind you that, you know, you should be aware of. And that's kind of the way it is with us. But I'm driving through the windshield. I'm not paying much attention to that. I'm driving forward with what Jesus wants me to do. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for your mercy and for your grace that I'm finally learning to be obedient to what you called me to do. And I know there's been trials and stuff that we're all going to go through, but you're going to be right there with us as we go through them. Whatever it is, let us be obedient in all areas of our life. Let us be obedient to loving each other, to loving ones that are, sometimes seem unlovable. Let us show them the love of Jesus. So help us to be obedient. Help us to do what you've commanded us to do. And go in the way that you've called us to go. And maybe it's not whatever. I mean, he says, go and make disciples of all nations. And we have enough right here in this valley that need to know him and to be discipled. And there's so many that say, well, we had so many saved today. How many are you discipling? That's a key thing. How are they going to learn to obey the things that he, to be obedient to the things that he's called them to do if we don't teach them? So help us to do that. In the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, and everybody said,
amen.
Okay, so in James, and he's told us a lot of things to do. We're to visit these people that are sick, to visit the, you know, take care of the widows and the orphans. We're to do, because he says, if you've done it for the least of these, you've done it for me. So help us to do that. And James chapter 5, 13 to 18, paraphrase, says, if any of you are going through things, I mean, we all go through different things. We all go through different battles. But help us to be obedient to him. He said, are any of you sick? He said, come and have the elders anoint you with oil, and by their faith you will be healed. Not by us, by the faith in Jesus Christ it's going to do it. So won't you come?
Come home.
sinner come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised, promised for you and for me. Though he has sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home.
Let us all rejoice and be glad in it and do what he's called us to do. Amen. Amen.
Ready?
Yeah. Oh. One more time.
Welcome back to the arms of the Lord. Welcome back to the arms of the Lord.
You have trusted some people
you ought not have trusted. You have traveled some roads you should not have gone down. It's a miracle, really. You never got busted. Your own testament to the mercy God's shown.
It may have been a while.
Jesus has been here waiting with open arms. Welcome back. Welcome back to the arms of the Lord.
Made the Lord
your hope and confidence. You are blessed because you put your faith in him. Welcome back to the peace man. Cannot understand. Welcome back to the house of your Savior and friend. I know it's been a while. Jesus has been here waiting with open arms. Welcome back. Welcome back to the arms of the Lord. Welcome back. Welcome back to. Welcome back. Welcome back to. Welcome back to the arms of the Lord. Welcome back. Welcome back to. Welcome back. Welcome back to, welcome back to the arms of the Lord.